Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Yet again. Yay, technical difficulties.
I'm not even doing it live.
This
will be fine.
The live stream went better than this.
God. I'm gonna be so paranoid at every little hiccup that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hi.
Hi, everyone. You don't know this, but this is the second time.
Joel's,
this is actually our 202nd podcast.
Like, we were pretty much, like, at least 60 to 70% done.
Yeah.
Like, we were, like, one match away from talking about the entire TLC card.
Oh.
Yeah.
You jerk.
And we had some good ones, too. God, like,
yeah.
We had some good points. It was insightful.
It was really good.
This was going to be the podcast that got us over the hump.
Like, I was really feeling
we were
it.
We
going to
get so
getting
much money.
Clicks.
We were going to get all the Twitter followers.
So now...
iTunes was going to blow up.
So now, here it is. You ready? There was a match, and there was a ladder, and then Roman's the champion. Spoiler alert.
Always,
you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire.
I'm giving you all
God.
The finger.
All right, I'm not upset anymore. I am still upset. But it's okay. It's not you guys' fault. I'm not going to take it out
on
the podcast audience.
I guess I should say this again. if you're listening to this on iTunes or Inside Pulse, there's a chance that you haven't gotten our 200th episode, the audio at least. We're still working on that. We're still planning on having that be released on iTunes. It's being a little tricky because we got it straight off of the live stream. But... if you want to go ahead and listen to it now or watch it, you can go to our YouTube page. It automatically saved there.
Yeah.
It's Classroom Ring Attire, all one word. Just look for us on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe while you're at it.
I don't know.
And watch it, enjoy it, and
we thought it was good.
See me make some passive-aggressive faces at Beardsley for being a jerk.
But we want to thank you guys, those who tuned in. It was a lot of fun to do.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun to do that. Work with the interactions.
Yeah, and it was fun to finally get to do that because that was something we were, talking about doing for a while. And it's something that we had kind of wanted to do on a semi-regular basis, but we just can't because of my work schedule. So, it's my fault. But it was a lot of fun and, might be something that we might look at later on in the future sometime.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
So, keep your ears open.
They're listening to the podcast.
Good job. You're successfully doing it right now. Just continue that.
Now you got them thinking about it. Now they're going to be, when you remind yourself of like you're breathing. And
yeah, mm-hmm. you're now breathing manually.
Yeah,
and your tongue isn't comfortable in your mouth anymore.
Yeah, pretty much half as me like almost every night.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
So so TLC, how do you feel about TLC?
It was okay. It was a good overall show. The finish to the final match felt a little weird.
Yeah.
But it was okay. Like, it's not enough. I don't think it was enough to ruin the entire show.
Okay.
TLC is kind of like it's always been like the filler pay-per-view.
Because it's the December one.
Right, because, when the first of the year is over, they hit the reset button to gear up for the Royal Rumble and then WrestleMania season.
Right.
Which is, exciting because WrestleMania season.
Friggin' finally, jeez.
Don't get too excited. Remember how mad last year's build-up to WrestleMania was?
Like yeah,
it kicked off like, ironically, in Philadelphia.
But let's be fair. I was still a lot into like, are they gonna do it? Like,
sure.
It's been 2 years of dreading it, but
yeah,
like.
So this year we're wondering.
But
like,
it's been friggin' Blair candy. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Blair's love the. He still thinks WWE versus the fans has been the best storyline they've come up with for years.
I mean,
and he's not wrong.
No.
It's just. Unintentional for them.
I don't want it to happen. I'll go back to it for year three.
For harmony reasons, I would like for just everyone to just get along and be happy
It would be nice to be really excited about it. Like, the last time I feel we were all really happy with the Rumble winner was, like, Edge?
Sure, yeah.
In 2010?
Definitely not since we've started the podcast.
Yeah, so because 2000...
Like, we were okay with Del Rio winning.
Yeah, Del Rio was fine, but, like...
Sheamus has felt telegraphed, like...
Sheamus has felt like it was supposed to be Jericho, but they just made it not Jericho.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that, like, then Sheamus won the title in 18 seconds. Like, oh, you didn't really have this feud planned out, did you?
And it was one of those things where it really didn't matter anyway because, you know, Sheamus went after the World Heavyweight – or the Heavyweight Championship, and Chris Jericho went after the WWE Championship that same year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like the Batista-Cena tie where it didn't really matter because both of them ended up going for the championships anyway at WrestleMania. Yeah.
So that one was whoopity-doo.
Yeah.
Then 2-1 for, and then Cena won, so he could face The Rock.
Nobody was happy about that. That one was super meh. But the match was fine.
The match was fine, but nobody was happy about that outcome.
Remember how they tried, it came down to Cena and Ryback, and they were still trying to get, like, put Ryback over?
Mm-hmm.
Hence the pun, Royal Rumble, get him over. but, like, John Cena, like, got him to the point where, like, he put him in the STF until he passed out, tried to give him the Stone Cold rub.
Yeah.
And then he had to, like, you know, get his carcass over the side. It was weird. It was dumb.
So there's that one. Then there was friggin'
Batista.
The Batista and then Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
So the last one where I was like, I feel like people were happy at the end of the Royal Rumble was Edge.
Probably, yeah.
So, all right.
And we're not even, like, from a heel face standpoint. Like, there's plenty of faces of... or technically faces have won.
Yeah, no, this is from a... I am excited to see where this story goes.
So, yeah, like, as interesting as it would be to see if they decide to go against what fans want again and see, like, exactly how they retract from it or try to fix it or whatever, I would be kind of more interested in seeing them, you know, for some weird harmonious alignment of the stars... that WWE actually
does something that
the fans enjoy and like, and it's just like, because that would be that one single encouraging moment where you think...
What a novel concept.
Right, it would be that one single moment where you, like, yeah, can't help but think, but maybe WWE, like, maybe they finally get it.
Maybe they care.
Yeah, like, maybe they finally get it and understand what the fans want to see.
Yeah.
Not saying, like, the fans have to always go home happy, because, you know, then the heels will never win. But at the same time, you know... give them a good show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
I would like a good show.
Not necessarily giving them exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that doesn't work out to be a good show.
Yeah.
But give them a good show to where they realize they got it.
Yeah. Speaking of a good show, let's go down the TLC card.
Okay, starting off with the tag team ladder match. Really good. Like, easily match of the night.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Because
it's a tornado tag match.
That's yeah. right.
And yeah, it works out very well. Because I believe I want to say that pre-show for WrestleMania this year was also a tornado tag. But it was like four teams or something like that. All I remember is it was a lot of chaos. And it was all right. You know, we don't really remember it that well because it was like the pre-show. Like, but even before the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, where a lot of those a lot of those guys went right back into the ring to do that because they got to fill up that card. So, I don't know. It was encouraging, and it made me kind of hope for a tag team championship match with multiple teams, like more than two, actually on WrestleMania, not on the pre-show.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice. And I gotta say, like, I thought everybody did really well. I think, you know, spot of the night coming off that ladder
pretty easily. Yeah.
Or perhaps spot of the night, that trombone flying through the air.
That took some precision.
That was really well done. like
I've never seen a group of people more amazed at a trombone flying into the air.
I don't know how many of you were giant band nerds in college, but Chris was.
Thank you.
And I was super popular, so I could see the people playing the trombone
from
a distance.
Calm down, Drum King.
But trombones are bulky.
They are.
And awkward.
Most trombone players are about as big as an actual trombone.
So
it takes some coordination to actually throw one of those things.
Yeah. So well done, I gotta say.
Sure. Yeah.
Next up on the card was something I didn't care about.
Probably
was it Ryback?
Ryback and Rusev.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I don't know if they were next, but it's still like, who cares?
Yeah.
Rusev won technically, I guess. I don't remember.
Okay, so I'm gonna skip forward for a second. Okay. So apparently, Wade Barrett has been removed from the League of Nations, and I understand that he has maybe an injury. They're kind of like
being... That's what news is coming out now, like two days after the fact.
Yeah, but we had this thing where
I like how like WWE just act like it didn't even happen, didn't exist.
Well, they had the League of Nations, you know, invaded the main event. And it was like, oh, there's only two of them.
Yeah, because I think there was
two
like
that already had matches.
There was a segment that was pre-taped for the pre-show that had all of them on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was kind of weird that there was a guy missing that no one was talking about.
So we had the one fresh, still ready to go guy who, like, yeah, I'm sit this one out.
Right.
So.
By KFAB WWE standards, that's pretty much what happened.
Yes.
Because they never talked about it.
They had not mentioned anything about Wade Barrett. Next up. Chair match.
Yep, Del Rio versus Swagger.
Okay.
We've talked at length on how dumb
chair matches are. Stupid.
They are.
So it's a regular match, but with chairs illegal. That's stupid.
It would be less, like I said, it would be less stupid if it was like a table match, but with chairs. The moment you get hit with the chair, you lose. Unless you kick a chair, because apparently that doesn't mean anything. And that's again, how we move.
That's
on.
A lovely segue right into. Right? The
8-man elimination tag team tables match. Okay. How convoluted does that sound?
So, as we finally learned, we were confused last week, but as we finally learned, everybody on your team has to go through a table. Once they go to the table, they're eliminated.
Seems excessive, right?
A minimum of 4 people have to go through a table. As many as 7 could go through a table in that match.
Sure.
One person who did go through a table was Buttman Stumpum. And
that might be, I don't know, not as good as cues from the live stream, but we won't repeat that because just go watch the live stream.
He used his foot went through a table.
He was going to give a big boot to a guy who was leaned up against the table in the corner, and the guy moved, and Boogan Stugan went through the table. Like, his leg went through the table.
Yes.
Which, by oopsie doopsie Big Show standards that was set years ago in a table match, if you accidentally put a foot through a table, you lose.
Yes.
So Durgan Fergan
is out.
Should be out, and yet he was the one that got
the winning table
elimination
throw through. Yeah. So as a fan. Mm-hmm. I am very happy to see Fate finally being put into the Wyatts. The Wyatts have always been kind of like they can take the loss.
The pin cushions.
So I'm very happy to see that not happening. As somebody who didn't pick the Wyatts to win this match in the open, that shenanigans, that should be wiped from the card.
Just if you had control over that sort of thing.
If you want to keep the game fair and decent, Boogan Stugan clearly should be eliminated.
Right.
That match should not count.
And, of course, we can't really talk about this match without talking about the match that followed the next night, which was just, you know, a free-for-all tag team match, but it was single elimination.
That
was just an Extreme Rules match.
That was an Extreme Rules match.
Yes. Like, it was incredible. It was a lot of fun, and it was refreshing because we haven't gotten anything to that extent in a while.
We have not gotten good Extreme Rules matches in years.
I would say probably last good. I don't even know if it was a quote unquote an Extreme Rules match. I just know that it happened at Extreme Rules, the Brock versus Cena.
Brock and Cena, yeah. So, yeah, no, that's the totally kind of.
But even that wasn't this.
This, and here's the thing: like, so much of that match was probably like really safe.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
compared to the ECW standards, yeah. I don't really think anyone, like, I don't think anyone had any blood or anything.
But it felt like chaos, and things were getting torn apart. And that is, you know what, like.
And the fans were super into it. Like,
yeah.
It didn't even, honestly, it didn't even matter that it was in Philly.
No.
They could have done that match probably anywhere, and we got a really good reaction.
And that is the first time in years, maybe 2-3 years, but there's a match on where I'm like, I would like to re-see that match.
Yeah.
That is a match that could go on a DVD.
Yeah.
Which that hasn't happened on Raw in years.
Like, I don't know if, like, just the fact that these, you know, older guys who can go kind of go out on a limb and, you know, improvise in the ring or whatever. I don't know if current guys are given that kind of leeway against, you know, other current guys. But I don't know if they were, like, let off the leash a little bit and be like, hey, we need a ratings bump. Let's give the fans something to really, you know, get wowed over. I don't know.
I don't know, but the...
I don't want to say, like...
The thing is, with Raw, I kind of feel like you watch Raw for the story, for the, like, plot points
right.
of the feud to know where we're going yeah. through the promos. And there are matches on Raw, which 80% of the time don't count for nothing.
Right.
20% of the time they do count for something is there's a stipulation on the match, the winner gets da-da-da-da. But you can really just kind of go ahead and see who won.
Yeah.
And then you know who gets the stipulation. But this is this kind of match, like...
Yeah.
All right, let's and watch some matches on Raw now.
Sure. And I'm not saying, like, you need to have a match like that every week, because then, you know... You know, your expectations get higher and higher.
You
and
don't you need that to... every week, but you definitely don't need to never have something like that.
Right.
Because that makes me not care about.
Sure. But, like, you know, because I will say, like, you know, the scarcity of it made this match that much more special. and I'm pretty sure that, like, played a big part into why we enjoy that match so much.
Yeah.
It's because it was so unlike anything else that we've seen in a while.
Part of it was also... we get so much of this 50-50 booking now where somebody wins on the pay-per-view, but yeah. somebody else, whoever lost, gets their win back the next night on Raw.
Right.
And you kind of get this, and that just, I know it's supposed to make people look credible, and sure. if it's done right, it can, but it also kind of just makes everybody look bad. And so, yeah. and this was really built up to be that, you know, ECW guys get their win back.
Yeah.
They were in Philly, they had the thing at the beginning with yeah. the... You know, in the background, where were they? Some sort of like backstage
sure, yeah.
boiler room thing?
Sure, yeah.
So, like, it was built up. And then for the Wyatts to still win again. Win.
Yeah.
It's,
and Eric Rowan get the win.
I know, right?
Weird.
But okay.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, so to have that and, like, kind of double down, like, here is this tag, this team is a force to be reckoned with. Let's take them seriously all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Nice to see WWE suddenly taking these guys seriously.
For now.
For now.
Yeah. Against older part-time
Yeah,
guys.
I also get that. But against...
But WWE's always, you know, they're always really tempted to cater to the older part-timers. Unless you're
right.
like Rob Van Dam or somebody like... Or Chris Jericho.
Right.
So, yeah, it was really enjoyable. We went into the whole, like... Setting that or setting up the table to get set on fire thing when the old recording just they should have set it on fire. That's pretty much what we were saying.
Yeah, we don't know either, if it was a botch or if it was a
sure.
we're just gonna tease it.
Either way, they should have they introduced it. They should have followed through with it.
Yeah. Divas match is next.
Divas match. Paige versus Charlotte. Charlotte's going to full Flair mode.
Yeah.
Full Ric Flair mode.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to say it's kind of amazing that, like, as legend status as Ric Flair has become, as, you know, totally get the cheers.
Yeah.
Always remember, that guy can still get you to boo him when right. it calls for it.
But it's kind of like a temporary boo because, like, it resets the next time you see him. For now.
Like, that's like,
you know, the next night on Raw, he got cheers when he first came out.
He got cheers when he came out, but, like, we knew to...
But he still had to work to get the boos.
I feel like they knew to boo him pretty quick. Like there was the respect cheer at the beginning, but we pretty quickly got to the, and he's a bad guy, so now we're ready to actually boo. And, I mean, and that's just kind of a thing where you get those return cheers, and at a certain point you get those, I'm just happy to see this person cheer,
right.
the Dave Letterman cheers, kind of.
Right, yeah.
Well, you're not laughing because he's funny. You're laughing because he's Dave Letterman.
Yeah, the same goes for Jay Leno, yep.
Mm-hmm. And so you get that, but God, he can still work a crowd.
Yeah, well,
so
naturally.
That's how he does it.
Sure.
And it's nice because, like, Ric Flair was at the end of his career, when I first knew of Ric Flair's existence, I mean, Ric Flair's been at the, quote, end of his career for years.
At least a decade or so.
Yeah.
Probably 2 decades.
Yeah, probably going on 20 years.
He was at the end of his
He's in the twilight era of his career.
Yeah.
And is, you know, living legend status. But it's nice to see, like, yeah, there's like the twinkle of the genuine wrestler, and I love it.
Yeah.
So.
But then you got Charlotte, who is just, you know, she's the female embodiment of Ric Flair at this point. Like, that's her character. It's kind of disappointing because, you know, I said it before, like, I was kind of hoping that she would be her own person, and in NXT she kind of was, you know, with a couple of provisions here and there, but for the most part she was her own. Charlotte was a separate thing.
Yeah.
But then moved up to the main roster, you gotta point out the
here,
you know, the family.
So the thing is that I get, so Charlotte versus Paige, you know, not a bad feud.
Sure.
There's interesting, there's animosity, there's two people who are, you know, the tweener thing is nice that we're not like Saint the good guy, demon bad guy fighting it out, so that we're both kind of on the tweener side. They're both in this, like, willing to bend the rules, ends justify the means kind of feeling. And you know what? That's all. There's genuine praise to be put upon those two people on some of the matches they've put on.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff they've been able to craft, given what they've been given to work with.
Yeah.
WWE, you have in the past done a great, great female wrestling storytelling.
Yeah.
You are currently doing pretty good female wrestling storytelling there for one story.
Yeah.
You did, like, I'm just like, but all right, the next step is to be able to, like, you know, two simultaneous
right
story diva stories going on, maybe.
And I mean, if they feel strongly enough about it, they've done it before. Like, you've had I believe there was a point in time where they were doing a Divas Championship match and the whatever Stephanie was doing with the Bellas last year.
Yeah,
or something along those
lines. But wasn't one of those terrible?
You're not okay. Here's the thing: you're not calling for quality right now. You're calling for quantity.
No. Here's the thing:
both is great.
I am calling for quality because they have had quantity where they've had multiple Divas matches or multiple Divas stories, or they've been like Summer Rae comes out every time that Tyler Breeze does. That's a Diva storyline.
Right?
Like, no, it doesn't. Shut up.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is like. Multiple people can have different feelings about different people.
Yeah.
And I said, I was like, I'm worried about Becky Lynch and I'm worried about Sasha Banks. They're the two that I was most interested in coming up from NXT. Their NXT match is, you know, mini spoilers for the classies, probably going to be my match of the year. I need to watch Sasha Banks' three matches, the Becky Lynch one and the two Bayley ones. And then just decide amongst the three.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as, like, challenging, you know, WWE to have more than one storyline involving multiple, like, now that they have the roster for it, they absolutely have the roster for it now, and they can pull that off. And, you know, challenge them one step further, because, you know, as pointed out by Jay on Twitter, like, he, you know, challenge them to have a diva storyline that doesn't involve a guy.
Yeah.
In any fashion, whether it be Ric Flair, you know, the guy, the father, or you know, a boyfriend or husband or whatever. Like, it seems like they can't have, at least right now, like, they can't have a Divas situation or storyline that doesn't involve
a dude. But they're not fighting over a guy or, oh, this guy's invested, so it's a legit feud you got.
Right,
yeah.
So now we're supposed to make it feel like it's important.
So, no, I completely agree with that. Main event next?
No, we got the Intercontinental Championship.
IC Championship, you're right. All right. Surprising outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, though. I am hoping this means that Kevin Owens is moving on up to the main event scene now, because really, without Seth Rollins, Sheamus is your only main event heel.
Right. And a lot of people, like, before he cashed in the Money in the Bank, you can make the argument that Kevin Owens is and was the top heel on the in the roster.
Yeah.
So you need to kind of build him up a little bit. I don't know if he's going to be, like, the heel, like, the top heel for WrestleMania season. Yeah, I'm not saying, like,
Roman. But you think sometime in 2016 he will be at least challenging for...
I absolutely think
the
so,
WWE.
Yeah.
I think he should be, absolutely. Yeah.
I think by... I wouldn't be surprised if by Extreme Rules he's the top heel going for the championship.
Okay, that's good. All right, so the main event happens.
Mm-hmm. It was a good match. It was well paced. It was, you know, very brawler esque, which was what we expected.
That's the thing. It's like it played to the strengths of these two wrestlers.
Absolutely. What, you know, like I mentioned before, the one thing that was confusing was the finish, where Sheamus was at the top of the rope or the top of the
ladder.
And he was taking a sweet time, and then like was confused that Roman was getting back in the ring, and then I got it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, clearly they were going for some, like, ring psychology thing in that moment.
Right.
That just didn't translate at all to anything, or to any of us.
So, we kind of got to pair this one up with the main event of Raw.
Yes. Which also wasn't bad.
Not bad.
And yet somehow involved more blood. Even though it was a straight up and down one-on-one match.
So... What do you think about Roman being champion now?
I feel like, I mean, clearly it was a lot better received than it would have been at WrestleMania.
It's really interesting that this is the same building,
right,
that he won the Rumble.
And sure, like it's there's two things that's interesting to point out. Like, A, what a difference a year makes. Beginning of the year, literally, mm-hmm. to, like, almost literally the end of the year, you know, in the same building. Now, it also points out the difference between a pay-per-view crowd and a Raw crowd.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view crowd is a little bit more expensive. You're going to get, like, the more, like, you know, the older, smarky crowd.
Right.
And then Raw, tickets are going to be a little bit cheaper. Parents are going to, you know, dish out more money to bring the kids.
Right.
So, there's that factor to take in. But it's still the Philly crowd.
Mm-hmm. They still knew to chant ECW. Like.
Sure. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, sure, we're not completely happy with everything that they're doing with Roman, and their lord, he loves talking about people's testicles these past couple weeks.
Well, again,
tater tots and then grapefruits is what I'm referring to.
I totally get that. And you know what? Like, I'll give him the grapefruits thing. That wasn't...
Sure. I mean, that's an established thing, but...
If there's a third person with a third food related testicle reference, at that point I'll jump on the.
Then we're gonna be like,
come on, guys!
It's like, Roman, you're really weirdly interested. Like, not that there's anything wrong with it, if that's your thing, but you really like talking about testicles
and comparing them to foods
and comparing them to food. That's a good. It's not just that you're obsessed with talking about them, but you're obsessed with comparing them to food.
Yeah.
Also, his delivery is awful when it comes to jokes. That's also the painful thing.
Like,
I'm not just complaining about the food thing.
You're talking about, like, what a difference a year makes, and I was like, really? I feel it's almost like, what a difference literally two nights make.
Sure, sure.
Because, like...
I will say this, like, they've... Whereas, you know, you go to the beginning of the year where it felt like pretty much everything was just given to Roman. Like, he was gone for, like, half the year, and he was... somehow voted the Superstar of the Year in December.
Yeah.
And really hadn't done much leading up to Royal Rumble. And then doesn't really work that much in the Rumble match. Mm-hmm. Like, he felt kind of lazy. And that was part of the reason why people were so against him to begin with. Because it didn't feel like he earned anything.
Yeah.
And so, from that point on, they had Roman working his butt off. You know,
that helped a lot. Roman, it felt Roman, like Roman put in hours.
Yeah, Roman Reigns put in a lot of ring time this year.
Mm-hmm. But having him going off on Triple H at the end of Raw was just cool. Or at the end of TLC was just cool.
Sure.
It felt unhinged. He felt dangerous.
Yeah.
And it kind of harkens back to the Shield and how little he talked with the Shield.
Yeah.
And how much he was the big, silent...
But he was the action guy. Don't
mess with him. But yeah.
He was the guy that
let the action do the talking.
Yeah.
And, like, it felt like that guy was kind of peeking through.
Yep.
And then just like, you know what? Punching Vince, man. Punching Vince will get you over.
Yeah. That's another thing. Like, I forgot, like... Yeah, no, like, it's obvious why they use Vince, you know, in this situation, because, you know, ratings hasn't been doing great, and for a while, like, bringing Vince out was the Band-Aid
mm-hmm.
to get them through, like, a few weeks. So, like, clearly they did that again today, or not this week, and it was just surprising that they hadn't used him in over a year.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know what? This was a solid... Solid Raw.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because you had Vince coming out. You had Vince doing some Vincey things.
First of all, you had Stephanie, like, slap Roman Reigns a lot.
Yeah.
And we all, like, that's, like, one of those things where, like, a lot of, you know, wrestlers talk about, like, hardly anyone slaps harder. Even if it's a work, like, no one slaps harder than Stephanie. And she just wailed on the dude. And I saw, like, the picture that they put on Instagram, and it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got that. You got Vince.
Yeah, Vince coming out. So there's, like, oh, we got to tune and watch Vince. You have that.
Now we know who was probably behind the creative decision to have Undertaker kick Brock in the nuts so many times. Because Vince just goes for it.
Yep. You have that Extreme Rules match. That's the best match they've had on Raw in years.
Yeah.
And then you have a title change happen on Raw, which is the first time that's happened since 2011?
And it not be a Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, I don't even think they've cashed in Money in the Banks. Like, I'm thinking...
That was, like, Money in the Bank was, like, Dolph the day after WrestleMania on Raw.
Yeah, but he cashed in specifically on the World Heavyweight.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So the WWE title has not changed hands.
Yeah.
On
Raw in a long time. Like, I can't even think back that far.
Because I was thinking of when Swagger cashed in.
I mean, the title's been put in abeyance plenty of times on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm expecting to happen on Monday night.
Yeah.
Or the next Monday, is they're going to pull some shenanigans to get the belt off of Roman.
Do you think they'll put it back on... Sheamus or Vacant?
They might put it back on Vacant again.
Yeah.
That guy.
Vacant's been having it a lot recently, I gotta say.
No kidding.
But, I don't know, that really, because it ends with Roman, it feels, you know, like a legit Roman's the champion now.
Right. And honestly, like, doing it that way, I felt like it's a lot, it felt better to me doing it that way, if they had just left them, like, let them just keep the belt after the big celebration after Survivor Series, you know?
No, it feels better this way because it feels more earned.
Sure.
And it's more unexpected.
Blood always helps. Yeah. Color helps, man.
It does, and that's not a, you know, endorsement to start blading like crazy again.
Because, you know, Roman did it. He did it the hard way. Like, it was just one solid headbutt.
But see, I think the key thing is, like, in the lead up to Survivor Series, it was so telegraphed. Yes. Like, this is when they're gonna give Roman the title. Right. Here it comes. And can't this wait. One,
it felt a little bit more like, I don't know. Like, you knew that they would get around it because, and A, they kind of did show their hand a bit. They're like, Roman Reigns could get fired at the end of this match, and then check in tomorrow for ESPN Sports Center where their guest is gonna be Roman Reigns. Like, literally, like, they said that as Roman Reigns was making his entrance.
Yeah.
I was like, well, way to, you know, show your hand. Well,
because that's the thing is, like, I was assuming, like...
I was assuming shenanigans or something.
Well, I was assuming John Cena bought a ticket, kind of fired, quote-unquote fired.
That too.
Where, you know...
And so, like, at the moment they you know, well, they introduce that, you kind of roll your eyes.
Especially because, like, okay, next week is the Slammies, and it's also the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Where they're going to have the, you know, person-sized box on the stage.
Are they going to do that? Like, with, like...
The Christmas? Because
usually they don't... They separate them a little bit.
I mean, like, I don't know, but, like...
But, yeah, next week is the last one before Christmas.
It's not uncommon to have the person-sized box on stage, and then somebody bust out, and I'm like, that's perfect for a freshly fired Roman.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of what I assumed. So, like, I was... genuinely like, are they actually going to do this?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, didn't know either way. And mm-hmm. and because of the you're a champion or you're fired thing, mm-hmm. there is that little bit of like, there will be ramifications of this
right.
match. Every pinfall has something about it.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm interested in this. I'm interested to see where they go with it. It's honestly, it's like, it's Roman going off on Triple H at the end of TLC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's putting on two fairly good matches where I felt like he was the yeah. one doing the carrying in the match.
Sure.
Because that really helps. There's a lot of like, that guy put, like, when he put on the match with Daniel Bryan, you're like, Daniel Bryan carried him.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan carried him through that match. The Fastlane?
Yes.
Fastlane?
Yeah, it was Fastlane.
Fastlane, okay.
I was going over the limits. Like, that was the other
car themed one. Yeah. So, but for the past two, shut up.
Too fast, too shut up.
For the past two matches with Sheamus, it's felt like Roman's either done the carrying or at the very least held his own.
Right.
So, yeah, this is...
So, I don't know, because with the Slammies coming up, it is interesting that they're doing it a little bit different this year. Like, pretty much it's all going to be social media, which isn't, you know, that part isn't different. But the fact that they're saying that, you know, everyone on the active roster is eligible for Superstar of the Year. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they made that distinguish. Like that, because it was funny because they, I looked on WWE, they're like, if you want to vote on Twitter, this is how you should do it. We're going to use someone that's not on the active roster as an example. Just tweet out, I want Savio Vega to win Superstar of the Year 2015. Mm. I'm like, okay.
So the big question is, are we organized enough to make them do something stupid?
And even if we are, will they listen, or will they just ignore it? Because well, this is how you get stuck with ZZ, you guys.
Are we organized enough to make him do something stupid? Because we were for keeping ZZ on.
Uh huh.
We have been organized okay, in the past.
Don't say this wee stuff. I never once voted for him, so chill with that.
Yeah, you're one of us. One of us.
I voted for Patrick a lot, and then Josh.
Alright.
But I am responsible for Sarah.
Yeah.
I don't care. She's hot.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much how everyone else felt. So, like, clearly WWE is wanting Roman to win that again.
The Superstar of the Year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Clearly they're wanting that. It should be Seth.
It's, yeah.
Even with the injury and missing, like, the last couple months of the year,
Seth.
It should be Seth.
Yeah.
Now, if the fans were to be jerks, who should they pick?
Zack Ryder.
Good point.
Zack Ryder is the definitive. Yeah. We picked a guy and you said no.
Let's pick him again, you guys. Yeah. All right. I can get behind that. Just for making a point. Not that I feel very strongly about Zack Ryder one way or the other.
No, right, but if we wanted to make a point, right, Zack Ryder is the one.
That or, like, Ziggler.
Yeah, I mean, if...
But Zack Ryder is, like, would be more of an outside...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we can pick Seth Rollins, because he's probably not, you know, he's not on the active roster right now.
Right, and if we really wanted to, you know, shove it up their nose, you know, just pick, like, an NXT guy, which yeah. I, that probably doesn't count either.
Yeah, so because they're not on the Raw roster sure. or whatever. So, I don't know if that, because Zack Ryder's part of Hype Bros, so he's...
Yeah, but they still, like, every time they talk about him, he's like, oh, he's still in the main roster, but he's doing the Hype Bros thing, so he's okay. kind of, he's both.
Yeah.
He still works like live. Well, then again, NXT guys work live shows, so I don't yeah. know.
It's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
So, I don't know. Somebody on some internet somewhere will organize something.
Hashtag El Torito. Because we can't vote for Hornswoggle because Homeboy got fired.
Yeah.
Freaking PEDs.
Yeah. Weird, right?
Right?
Friggin'.
Oh, God. I hope it was human growth hormone. For Hornswoggle.
Friggin', like, it's insane
it's
to be
like... It's a
little
person joke.
There's people who are gonna be there forever. There's constant staples of the business.
Yep.
And he was one, and Santino was one.
Yeah.
And they're both just... Friggin', by the way, What do I need to do to express my displeasure at this rosebud segment, this rosebush segment, that it should stop continuing? Like, who is being put over here? Because it can't be Adam Rose.
No.
And it's not anybody he's talking. Like, what are you, they're not furthering storylines.
No.
What the absolute crap is this segment?
Absolute crap.
This is, oh, jeez, like, it's been 3 weeks now. Stop it.
Feels like it's been going on longer.
It might have been.
I mean, that's probably not a good feeling to have, but yeah.
Stop it. Because that's the thing, it's like, okay, so
you
he's going to...
You never know, this could be that slow New Day turn, where all of a sudden they're going to do something and it's going to be great.
Well, that's the thing, it's like, watching, like, okay, this is a really, really terrible way
yeah.
to have two of these, and then the third one, he says something about somebody, and they take issue with it, and then they appear on the Rosebush segment, and then they have to go on Miz TV to talk it out, and then they end up having a pre-show match
right.
at friggin' Fastlane.
And then never be heard of again.
And that's what we watched all this crap for. But even that's not happening. So what is this crap for?
I don't know.
I'm done. Stop it.
Trying to justify why Adam Rose is still on payroll?
You should... Maybe you let him wrestle, because he's a wrestler. You friggin' Plutarchs.
Yeah, you tell him. I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Is at this one point? You saw something on Raw you didn't like? Join the club, I guess.
It's the worst part of wrestling right now. Yeah, I think so. WWE wrestling, and not like, you know, the issues.
Okay.
Like the Hulk Hogan issues.
Okay. All right. Glad you went ahead and covered that. So, as far as, like, the on-screen product of WWE right now.
Yeah. As far as the things for WWE, something out and was like, this is good.
The Rosebush, you know, where the dirt is always in bloom, which doesn't make any sense.
No, doesn't.
At all.
Doesn't, because it's stupid.
You're saying that is the worst thing about WWE television.
Worse than Sheamus being champion, worse than the tater tot speech. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
like, I don't have any, like, options right now that I can come off the top of my head because it's 1 o'clock in the morning and this is our second recording of this. So I can't really come up with anything else to present as an alternative.
It's that. You don't have to because it's that. On that note, what's making us happy?
What? On that note?
Chris.
I'm happy.
I can find another co-host. It can be Joel and Indy talks about wrestling.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. He's probably about... Your cat probably has just as much insight as I do.
See? It's hard to talk.
It's 1 a.m. What's making me... Star Wars is in
man.
2 days.
This is the last podcast I'm going to do having only seen 6 Star Wars movies.
Same here.
God, it's a good feeling.
We have to make sure we're sitting next to each other.
Because
there's going to be points in the movie where I'm like, I'm going to pop. I'm going to look to see if Joel pops. Because that's, like, kind of my thing, like, because I remember I saw, I think I saw Age of Ultron before you.
Maybe.
And so...
Oh, yeah, because you went to a midnight and I didn't go to a midnight
yeah.
for that one.
And so, like, I watched it and then, like, because I knew, like, parts were kind of, like, the vision part with the hammer. I was, like, I remember how I reacted when I first saw that. Like, I gasped and was, like, you know, I had that look on my face. Yep. I, like, looked over you and I'm like, he's got the face too! So, yeah. And so there's going to be parts where, like, if they make any sort of, like, super, like, extended universe reference that I'm not picking up, I can, like, just poke Joel and be like, freaking what? Not that I'm expecting that, because I doubt that they're trying to cast a very wide net, so I doubt they're going to go that route.
But,
like, I'm expecting, like, you know, we see, like, I don't even know if they're going to do the Lucasfilm.
I'm sure they'll do the Lucasfilm, but they won't do the
right.
The 20th Century Fox.
So once I have this feeling that like we see the Lucas title card, then like we all start like grabbing hands, like we're the toys and Toy Story, but like in a much more positive way, like it's happening, you guys. Yeah.
So
it needs to be Thursday already.
I know. Here's the thing.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Yes, this is a thing.
Taking a drink. Now I'm an apple.
If we were, so we talked about, I don't know if we actually talked, we talked about it on the thing, the podcast last week about how if it's a search for Luke storyline.
I don't remember that discussion, but I probably was checking Twitter or something.
We talked about, like, it looks like they're looking for something, and I'm like, they're probably looking for Luke.
Sure.
Because he's not in anything.
Sure, so we're not even going to really see him probably until the end.
If they find Luke at friggin' Tashi Station.
And he's, like, sitting there with a power
with
converter.
With one power converter.
I gotta be, guys.
Friggin', hands down, best movie ever.
Best payoff ever. Like, that's a better payoff than Mae Young's hand.
He gets hands all down. The Oscars and, like, 4 Grammys.
But with, like, that that boyish giddiness that only Mark
I don't even need that.
I got it, guys.
I just need them to be like, we found, like, that gruff Han Solo, we found him. And then we pan up and it's like, Tashi Station.
Right. Also, of course, like, it's going to be one of those things where, like, if that ends up being the case, and we're all sitting there like, really? You guys couldn't find him for so long. You didn't check Tatooine yet again. Like, Vader didn't know that his kids survived, but never thought to ever look on Tatooine ever for his child or one of his kids?
Somebody needs to read the novelizations of those movies.
No, I really don't.
They're amazing. You should read them all.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like if you're hunting for Luke, I feel like Tatooine is number one you need to check off.
In all genuine seriousness, especially the original series had really good novelizations, but the prequel novelizations are like amazing.
Because they weren't written by George Lucas.
Well, then the story was by George Lucas.
Sure, they're inspired by his story.
But, like, there is just especially Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
Like, friggin', that is one of the best sci-fi books I've ever read.
Right.
You can just take Star Wars off of it. If it was, like, full written, just amazing.
Okay.
So, dig it out, find it, take a look at that. And yeah, I'm sure there's wrestling stuff making me happy, but it's friggin' Star Wars this week. Sorry, you guys, it's Star Wars this week.
It's Star Wars and we're like also a week away from Christmas.
It can be something else next week, but like, it's Star Wars right now.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just like, especially with Joel, like Star Wars and Christmas are like happening at the same time.
Yeah.
That's just so much happy that you can't function.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like, I almost feel like I'm like, God, as soon as the Star Wars gets out of there, I can do some Christmas.
Right.
I can't even focus full on Christmas.
And see, like, that's the thing, like, I'm moving to a new apartment the next day.
Yeah.
And I can't really concentrate on the apartment and getting stuff together on it because it's like, I got Star Wars for
Star Wars, y'all. Star Wars, y'all. All right, here we go. All right, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easiest way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe there. You get new podcasts downloaded every week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or you write a review. That kind of stuff just kind of helps out the podcast.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there, and we'd love to hear from you. While you're there, go ahead and make sure you check out our new review series that we're doing on Inside Pulse. It's called the Clashy Ring Attire WrestleMania Review. We've already got WrestleManias 1 and WrestleManias 2. We'll probably have 3 and maybe 4.
By the
4,
time you're listening to this.
3 and maybe 4 by the time you guys listen to it. We're doing it like kind of once a week during the holidays, but once we get done with the holidays, we're going to do 2 a week.
Yeah.
And lead up to, I believe, the Tuesday before WrestleMania 32.
Yeah. We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris and myself. Easy way to follow the podcast and just other things that we might be working on.
Sure thing.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.